How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today, today was interesting. We had the Leshefsky family back in. They were great. You know, I couldn't imagine being able to play an instrument that well. I did play trumpet in like middle school. I was no good. I dropped that pretty fast. I played viola. Was much better at viola, but again, I was never. I think the best I got was third chair, so I'm not, certainly not them. But no, they were great. I wish I knew the names of all the songs they played. I probably would have added a lot of them to my playlist. I have playlists on playlists. But no, they're great. Scott's fixing up the studio over there. But yeah, no, so, great show. You know, they did a Beatles song. I thought that was good. Did a song, you know, apparently that was remade by Elvis. I've never heard of Blue Christmas, I think it was called.
Yeah, yes. It's a classic.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's very good.
Well, you know, a lot of them were good. Like I said, wish I knew the names of more of them, but you'll have that, I guess. I think so. Well, Pastor Craig did return today. That. He might have been.
He should have been.
He knew they were coming, didn't they? Or didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, so he was probably listening, I would assume. But, yes.
They're listening in New York?
Well, yeah, if they're listening in New York, I mean, you know.
New Jersey?
That's a good show.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
United States appeal.
You know, it was nice to have Pastor Craig back today. I don't know exactly why, but the Exchange Club is good either way. But you know, I think when Pastor Craig's here, it just runs a bit smoother for some reason. I don't know. It gives me somebody to argue with. I feel like I'm arguing with myself a lot of the times when we're on the Exchange Club because I don't know. It just so I just feel like I'm arguing with myself a lot of the time on the Exchange. But no, show's good. So yes, Pastor Craig. So there were Christmas Day games this year for the NFL. The Commanders did lose to the Cowboys, as I predicted. The Lions did, in fact, not beat the Vikings. So I was wrong on that one, but I did say I would hope the Vikings won because it would help the Packers out. And apparently it helped the Packers a lot more than I knew it would have because the Packers secured a playoff spot due to the loss of the Lions on Christmas, so that was a good Christmas present for the Packers. And the Broncos did, in fact, beat the Chiefs, like I thought. So, 2-3 is not bad, and the team I wanted to win won in the Lions game anyways, so I consider that a win. Now, the games were interesting. The Chiefs, I'm surprised they played as well as they did, quite frankly. I mean, they had their third-string quarterback in. Gardner Minshew apparently got hurt as well. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is on IR. So there's that. Also, I think Rashi Rice got put back on IR, if I recall correctly. I don't know exactly what happened to him. But, you know, it's no good when your number one receiver gets put on IR twice in a year. That'll bode poorly for your season. But I don't know. I think it'll end up okay for them at the end. I mean, you know, they got Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy's not nowhere near Rashi Rice, but Rashi Rice was quite good himself. Though I find it interesting that Xavier Worthy's production doesn't really ever pick up when Rashi Rice's, Xavier Worthy's production never really picks up when Rashi Rice is injured. And yes, Rashi Rice is on IR, by the way, I just checked. So, not good to have both players on IR. So they played better than I thought they would. Their third string quarterback, I can't think of his name as of this second. I'm sure it'll come to me. But yes, so the Broncos did, in fact, beat the Colts. I think the Broncos have a decent chance to go to the Super Bowl if Bo Nix can, you know, keep it up during the playoffs. But the playoffs tend to be stressful for young quarterbacks. So I don't know that he'll make it through that, but I don't know who's going to go to the Super Bowl this year. There's no great teams, in my opinion. I think the Broncos have had a good year, but I don't know I genuinely don't know what the Broncos' schedule looked like, so I don't know what their schedule strength was. Like, the Patriots look like they're having a good year, but if you take into account that the Patriots have the second weakest schedule in the NFL this year, I don't remember who has the first weakest. But the Patriots have the second weakest schedule in the NFL this year. So, if their team is good at all, I mean, it shouldn't be all that hard to end up with a decent record. So there is that. But yeah, I don't know who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be interesting. The Cowboys did win. By the way, yes, Cowboys won this year. Lions, once again. I don't know why I even thought the Lions would win. The Lions play on Thanksgiving every year, and they lose every year. I don't know why I ever thought the Lions had a chance to beat the Vikings, now that I think about it. Well, I guess I said Thanksgiving. It was Christmas. But same concept, I guess. They're not good with the big primetime games, I suppose. Same concept, yeah. Anyways, yeah, Vikings did in fact beat the Lions, which gave the Packers a playoff spot. They're still Packers, by the way, still fighting for Packers still fighting to top the NFC as far as winning the NFC North. So I think that's rather interesting. The Bears and the Packers fighting for the NFC. That's rather interesting. Also, Charles Barkley, I think he's an NBA like Hall of Famer, said that he called Roger Goodell and the NFL quote unquote fat pigs because they had games on Christmas, because the NBA used to have Christmas to themselves, and I guess he feels that the NFL is trying to just have games every day of the week and to crowd out any other sport. Now, personally, I don't watch basketball, so I might be biased, but I do just see it as business. I mean, everybody's off on Christmas. The NFL knows that they could rake in ad revenue by having games on Christmas. I mean, you know, there are people who are going to be home watching games on Christmas. Same things with Thanksgiving. I don't think that it's really all that much of a surprise that the NFL wants to have Christmas games. And I don't know that the NBA can be upset at the NFL for holding games on Christmas. The NBA could hold games on Thanksgiving. Go for it. I don't see what the problem would be there. Also, the NFL did get some backlash because one of the playoff games is going to be on Peacock exclusively. So if you don't have Peacock, I do believe it's Peacock. If you don't have the Peacock, you can't watch the playoff game because you have, like I said, you have to have the Peacock exclusively to watch this playoff game. So that's, I do disagree with that. I think that's kind of stingy of them. I think they ought to fix that. But also, there was a court ruling not too long ago that they couldn't set prices the way they did, but I don't ever know what came of it, because apparently they're doing the same things that they were just told that they couldn't do. They appealed it and won the appeal, I guess. I don't know. But, so I thought that was rather interesting, that they're gonna exclusive game on Peacock. The Raiders are going to bench Max Crosby, by the way. I thought that was interesting. The Raiders are having a year that's so bad. I mean, to be fair, Max Crosby has been playing through an injury pretty much all year. But the Raiders have been so bad this year that they are going to bench Max Crosby for the last two games because, one, once again, like he's been playing through an injury for a lot of the year. And because they're like, I think 2-10, and so they're just gonna hopefully they lose out the last two games of the year. And Max Crosby got very upset by this, saying he did not care about the draft pick, and that's not really his problem, that's somebody else's problem, and that his job is to be the best defensive end in the world. And this caused, like I said, such an argument between, so much animosity between him and the front office that he has left the building. And it has created questions about Max Crosby's future in Las Vegas with the Raiders. Now, Max Crosby up to this point has been a loyal Raider. He has gotten a lot of flack over the years because he could have very well gone to another team via free agency. I'm sure that he could have gone to another team via trade if he pushed hard enough. Because I'm sure somebody would give up an arm and a leg to get. I mean, we gave we being the Packers gave 2 first round picks, Kenny Clark, who had been a staple on the defensive line, by the way, and paid Micah Parsons, made him the highest paid non quarterback in the NFL. So I don't really think that. I don't think Max Crosby should have stayed at the Raiders anyways, but I guess I'd be one of the critics. But so there are questions about Max Crosby being with the Raiders now, and I think it would be in Max Crosby's favor to leave the Raiders. Max Crosby is in arguably, I don't know, I don't even know that he's in the prime of his career anymore, but he is at the very least toward the edge maybe. But he's still incredible at what he does. I'm sure somebody would pay handsomely for him. I'm sure somebody would pay very well in a trade for him. I think it'd be in his benefit, like I said, to just go to a better team in Super Bowl chase. Same thing with Myles Garrett. I thought Myles Garrett should have left and gone in Super Bowl chase, like he said he was going to do before the Browns came in and offered him like a $40 million contract extension. Which, fair enough, I guess. If that's what matters, then that's what matters. But I don't know how the Browns are ever going to get better if they're going to hand a $40 million contract extension to Myles Garrett. Eventually, you're going to have to. Eventually, it's going to hit your cap to a point where you can't afford to pay everybody else as well. But yeah, I don't know. I think Max Crosby's probably in the. Probably in the right here, but I see both sides of the. I mean, Max Crosby's a player. It's not his job's to do his job effectively. Oh, also, they're benching him through the last 2 games because, like I said, he has been playing through injury apparently. But he also has financial incentive to keep playing the games. I mean, he has. I'm not sure what his bonuses look like at this given moment, but I'm sure he has incentives and performance bonuses and things of that sort. And now I don't know if you just get paid extra for, you know, not being for not being like benched or you know being out, but he has financial incentive, so you know there's that. I think he should have left the Raiders long ago, like I said, but I guess that's his prerogative. He can do what he wants. I don't know. I guess we shall see where that all ends up. I think a good place for him to go would be. I mean, I don't know. I'd. Where would a good place for Max Crosby to go be? Maybe the Broncos. The Broncos have a great defense. I think they have some. I think they could use some help on the edge. Maybe. The Seahawks could use some help on the edge. I think they have a great secondary. I think the Seahawks would be good. Get rid of Sam Darnold, get a better quarterback. I have nothing against Sam Darnold, but he's not him. I would get a quarterback, and I would get Mason Crosby, and your team would be looking pretty solid. So, there's just better opportunity for Max Crosby out there. But anyways, Lamar Jackson is listed as doubtful for next week's game against the Packers. Next week, by the way, is going to be a new year. So isn't that something, by the way? This year has flown by so fast. But, yeah, Lamar Jackson is listed as doubtful for the game against the Packers, and Jordan Love is the one who's listed as out. Malik Willis is going to be the Packers' starting quarterback. Jordan Love is out due to the NFL concussion protocol, and Lamar Jackson is considered doubtful with a back injury. I think that, you know, bodes well for the Packers. I don't know who the backup quarterback is. Tyler Huntley maybe still at the Ravens. But I have a lot of faith in Malik Willis. I think Malik Willis's record for as a quarterback for us. Yeah, 2-0 in his. Yeah, I was just gonna say yes. He had two starts in his career, and he's 2-0. 16-0 against the Colts, and 30-14 against the Titans. By the way, I'm pretty sure he came from the Titans, so he put a hurtin' on the Titans. That's incredible. So yes, I have faith in Malik Willis. Tyler Huntley I also like, but I think Malik Willis is a better quarterback, and I genuinely think that if Malik Willis were to leave the Packers, there's a fair chance Malik Willis would end up on a team and that he could get a starting job, or a chance at a starting job. I think Malik Willis wants a chance at a starting job. But we shall see if he gets it. I think he's 25 or 26 at this point, so he's still got time. He's a younger guy. But he was drafted to the Titans, and he did get a chance to start at the Titans, but he never quite did great. So, there's that. Also, Malik Willis was listed as questionable the week after the Bears game. Jordan Love went out injured, and we put Malik Willis in. And Malik Willis got a shoulder injury, and apparently he had some illness, so he didn't show up to practice the next day due to an illness. But the shoulder injury, I guess, is better to a point where he's going to be the starting quarterback next week. So I think that's going to be interesting, especially considering we still are in the chase for a, I don't know that it'd be a first round bye. I don't think we'd be the first seed, but we're still in the competition for the first place of the NFC. So I can, like I said, I think that's rather interesting that. Well, obviously we have faith in Malik Willis, otherwise we wouldn't have given him I guess Jordan Love is in the concussion protocol, but either way, I think that the Packers could do it. The Lions' defense, I think, is overrated. They pay a lot for it. Same thing with the Steelers' defense. They just pay a lot for it. Have a lot of big names that are a little past their prime. So I don't think that goes well for them. Now, they do have some good players. I won't lie, but, you know, it's not the same. Joel Bitonio, he's left guard maybe. He's a lineman for the Browns, and he says that he thinks that the Browns should keep Kevin Stefanski, which I don't think would be a bad idea. Kevin Stefanski has had winning seasons before, not as a Browns coach, but he has been. I think he was part of the Titans, I want to say. I could be wrong there, but I think he was part of the Titans. Or no, Vikings, I think it was. But anyways, he has been part of winning seasons before. He's been part of 11-win seasons, so good seasons. I just think that if you look at his time, well, sorry, this is not an I think, I guess. This is a Joel Bitonio thinks. Joel Bitonio thinks that it's not quite Kevin Stefanski's fault. Kevin, I don't know, it's not quite his fault, because in his years at the Browns, he has had, I want to say, 6 quarterbacks. They started 3 quarterbacks this year, and then I think the year before that, they had Jameis Winston playing. They had maybe Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he played the year before that, but they had, you know, I think 6 quarterbacks that they were trying. So you didn't have a consistent quarterback, so there was nobody to really build a team around. But I think that Shedeur Sanders could potentially be the quarterback for the Browns, and they have a decent line. They have good running backs. I just think they need some wide receivers, potentially a second tight end, because I don't think David Njoku cuts it anymore. And I think they're good. Now, it could be a front office problem. I mean, the Dolphins cut their GM, and Mike McDaniels, I think, has lost 1 game since. So it could be a GM problem. But I don't know how the GM directly affects the game, other than, I guess he affects your staff, or your players, I suppose. But, yeah. So Joel Bitonio says that he should keep Stefanski and that the Browns would be in a pretty good place if they did so. And also, I think Bitonio, this is going to be his last year, so he might not come back. And speaking of last years, Travis Kelce is thinking about retiring. And I think that Travis Kelce should just call it quits. That man spent the entire offseason doing whatever he was doing with Taylor Swift and, you know, dancing up and down the aisles at a concert. And, you know, I'm not hating. If that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. Go for it, by all means. But I would rather he didn't take up a roster spot on the Chiefs If he's not fully committed to the game of football anymore, I think that perhaps maybe he should not be fully, I think that maybe he should not play football anymore. There are a lot of people who quit when they, not necessarily lose interest in the game, I guess, but when it's perceived they lose interest. I don't know. I think that he could just quit. Or not quit, retire, that's a better word. I think he could just retire, and I think he should retire. And then I think he could just go on tour with Taylor and be like a backup dancer on stage with all the other people and, you know, got him doing whatever she's got him doing. And that'd work. You know, if that's what he wants to do, then that's what he wants to do. But I think that he could just get back to focusing entirely on football. I think that'd be beneficial to him as well. So, you know, I think he should just pick a route, personally. I don't think he can go both ways. And I know I've already talked about it, but I think the fact that Charles Barkley called Roger Goodell a fat pig is kind of funny. I mean, it's rough, definitely rough. But, I don't know why it bothers Charles Barkley so much that the NBA doesn't have Christmas Day all to themselves anymore. I mean, again, it's a business. I mean, you're competing entities in the same field. I don't see the problem. I think that he might just be jealous because the NFL wins in viewership, I'm pretty sure, versus the NBA. And also, he says that the NBA has always been a Christmas thing, but I'm pretty sure last show, I looked it up, and we literally found out that the NFL has done Christmas games before, and it hasn't always just been, the NBA. But I don't know. I mean, Charles Barkley's entitled to his opinion, I think, I guess, but I don't know. Like I said, I think it's interesting. And also, the Packers, like I said, do have a chance to top the NFC North. So, by the way, I don't think I ever mentioned it here, but if you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, do feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think the Browns, I mean, I've said it so many times now, but I think the Browns have a lot of potential. They have a lot of good young players, but I don't think they have a receiving room, I guess. But I would work on that. Their line is good. Joe Bitonio is retiring. You're going to have to replace him, I suppose. But I don't think the Browns are all that far away from a winning season. I just think they need some kind of stability of some kind. I don't know what the problem with the Browns is. The Browns have had great rosters before, but they always just fail when it comes to the actual season. I mean, how do you end up the worst team in the NFL consistently? I don't know how long their GM has been their GM either. But I'm pretty sure the Browns are the team with the youngest GM in the NFL, and I do believe he's 32. There are head coaches older than 32 years old. There are assistant coaches older than 32 years old. I don't know what this man or woman, I don't know. But I don't know what this man or woman did to get this job or what kind of like qualifications they had, but boy howdy, 32 running a football team is something. I mean, maybe it's just like, I don't know, I'm sure they have an owner. Maybe it's just like the owner's son or something. And if that's the case, I guess it's a little more reasonable, as you would have been around the team your entire life. But I don't really know. But, yeah, 32 years old in charge of the football team. I don't know quite how that works, but, yeah. So, also, I think that the Bengals should definitely get an offensive line. I think they messed up drafting I don't want to say they messed up drafting Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow is a good quarterback. But I think they messed up drafting Joe Burrow or a quarterback before they got a line. They should have gotten a line. They should have gotten a line before they got Joe Burrow, for the sheer fact that Joe Burrow has been hurt a lot. And that's because every time he hikes the ball, he gets hurt. Now, they do have good receiving room, unlike the Browns, but their defense is also bad, which is a problem. Also, I think they did overpay Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow, and you can't overpay players, especially that many, because if you overpay that many players, I don't think that because it's the NFL has a salary cap. So if you pay one player too much money, it's a specific percentage of your salary cap, and you can't use that percentage now, obviously, for anybody else. So if you pay three players a significant portion of money, I mean, that's going to take up a good chunk of your salary cap, and now you have to pay, what, 50, just 50 other people. It just doesn't work out that way. And even with quarterbacks, a lot of teams pay their quarterback a lot of money because obviously you don't want to lose your franchise quarterback. But if you pay your franchise quarterback a whole bunch of money, odds are you're not going to have money for anybody else. Tom Brady was consistently... He was never the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, I don't think. I mean, maybe when he was with the Buccaneers. But he took... He took not what he was worth at the Patriots, at the very least. That way he could keep a good team around him. And the Patriots do move players a lot because they're greedy, and they don't like to pay people. But that's how they have good players at all the positions. They don't have any big-name, flashy players, really, but they do have good, consistent players at every position. Their backups are good. They don't have any holes, really. At least usually. I don't know what the team looks like this year. I don't trust their schedule. Their schedule is too weak for me to get a valid take on how good the Patriots are this year. But oh, by the way, the Cleveland Browns GM is the youngest or was the youngest GM in the NFL at the time. He became GM at 32, so he's been there since 2020, and he's also now the vice president of football operations as well as the GM. In 5 years, I don't think the Browns have done a whole lot, but, okay. I think that they're gonna be good. I have faith in the Browns. At some point, like I said, they could definitely do it. They have the youth, and they had great draft picks. So whoever was in charge of drafting, I think they did an incredible job. And if they keep up on that, they could be a good team sooner than people expect. So keep an eye out for the Browns, as funny as it is to say. But also, I was talking to my brother, and he's been calling me a Bears fan as of late because I told him that I thought the Bears were going to do well. And I when I say that, I meant like at the beginning of the season. Because I was on here, and I said that I thought the Bears were going to do a lot better this season than people expected because they played the free agency really well. They got a head coach who knew what they were doing. Caleb Williams now has some time, you know, in the league. His wide receivers got better. Romeo Odunze got, you know, older, more experienced, and he's still young. It just seemed like it was going to go well for them, and it did. So, I've been called a Bears fan now, but I would like to point out that I won't say that they're gonna like go to the Super Bowl or anything, but the Bears are on top of the NFC, so my statement remains accurate. So there wasn't any real animosity or anything over any of the Christmas games, I don't think. I guess there are some players who have some animosity about the Christmas games. I mean, which is fair enough, I guess. I don't know that I would want to be out playing games on Christmas when I could be, you know. I'm sure they have families and kids and things of that sort. Also, I know I talked about it before, but Philip Rivers has come back, to the NFL. And I think that Philip Rivers, he looked a bit rough last week. But, you know, cut the man some slack. I think he's just, you know, it's his first game back. I think he's going to get a hang of it. See, I mean, you know, his first week he threw for 120 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He threw for 277, two touchdowns and one interception in the game on the 22nd against the Niners. So, yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers, I think, is going to do better than people expect of him as well. But, you know, he is 44, so I don't know how long he can keep it up. I mean, at some point, I think he's going to, you know, I mean, I guess the season is almost over, so he only has to keep it up for a little bit longer. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely got the ability there to, you know, at least play through the end of the season. No, but it is upsetting, I guess, that, oh, man, I can't think of his name. Daniel Jones got hurt. I mean, Daniel Jones was on the path, I mean, well, I don't know about on the path to the MVP, but he was in the MVP race, which is a far step from being considered one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL at the Giants. But I think it was a win-win, because Jackson Dart, I think, is better than... I'm a big fan of Jackson Dart. Now, I think Jackson Dart should stop playing with his head so much. And when I mean that, I don't mean, like, with using his brain. I mean, like, when Jackson Dart runs, he always, like, takes contact with his head for some reason. Cam Scataboo does the same thing. I don't know why you would do that. That's terrible decision-making. Also, apparently Cam Scataboo used to just run into, like, poles. I don't know why. I guess it was for some reason to practice trucking, I guess. But he would just, I guess, run into, like, telephone poles and then, like, get up and do it again. So, you know, he's a different kind of person. But Jackson Dart is, too, I guess. I mean, I don't know. They're both funny kind of people. They go well together. But, yeah. I think the Giants have a lot of potential as well. Big fan of Abdul Carter. I don't know what he's really been up to. I haven't heard his name any, as far as this year goes. But, no, he's been, I guess, underwhelming. 23 tackles combined, 3.5 sacks. I think, this is his rookie year, though, so cut the man some slack, like I said. I have faith in Abdul Carter. I wanted the Packers to draft Abdul Carter. I don't know. There were all kinds of people I wanted the Packers to take that we didn't end up getting. I wanted us to get either Quinshon or Travion Henderson because I didn't like the fact that we were only using one running back, because when Josh Jacobs gets hurt, it does a pretty good job of messing with the offense, because we rely heavily on Josh Jacobs. Emmanuel Wilson is okay, but I don't know that we could trust him for an entire game. I mean, obviously Matt LaFleur does. We have other running backs. But I don't know. Like I said, I just think it's better to have depth. But what do I know, I guess? I'm not in the NFL. But no, I mean, there are a lot of teams that, I mean, could be well. I don't know. It's just an interesting year. There are no great teams. The Broncos are the best team in the NFL right now by far, when I say by far, I mean as far as the record goes. They're the best team in the NFL, I do believe, at 12 and something or another. Unless they've won more games at this point. I haven't looked at their record in a minute. Well, I know they just won another game. But the Broncos, let's see. The Broncos are 13-3. Yep. The Broncos are doing great. The rest of the NFL is not doing so great. But the quarterback play in the NFL, in my opinion, has been rather poor. I don't know. There's just not a lot of I don't know. When I started watching football, we had like Drew Brees, and we had Tom Brady, and we had Big Ben, and we had Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Flacco was still in good or in his prime. I don't think there are any of those quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers, I don't know if I brought up Phillip Rivers. I mean, Phillip Rivers is back now, but I don't know. I don't think there are any quarterbacks like that in the NFL anymore. Maybe Daniel Jones is going to get there at some point. Maybe Drake May will get there at some point. I mean, it is just like a transition period. I mean, a lot of teams have young quarterbacks. There are very few that have veterans. The two that I can think of off the top of my head would be... Well, I don't know what I mean when I say veteran, by the way. I mean, I guess like 5 years. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has been in there for a while. Lamar Jackson's been in there for a while. Justin Herbert's been in there for a while. But, I don't know. They're just not... Like, Phillip Rivers was... I don't know. Just a different time, I guess. But I guess the run game has become more of a staple in the game plan. If you don't have, receivers, you got to run the ball. And a lot of the people now use use play action, so you run to set up play action. Or I guess you could, in theory, play action to set up the run, but it wouldn't work as well. But no, I mean, running backs have become a lot more useful than when I originally watched football. The run game has become a vital part now. I think... First team to really do so in a long time was the Titans, and then the Kyle Shanahan kind of system came in, where you'd run the ball and then play action, and Kyle Shanahan had like three running backs that he would use, and like Tevin Coleman I think he had, and Raheem Mostert, and he had a backfield committee, obviously Derek. Derrick Henry, King Henry, as they would refer to him. There are a lot of running backs now. I mean, there was not to say that there weren't before. I mean, like, you know, Adrian Peterson holds the record for most rushing yards in a game. I want to say 296. Alvin Kamara, I think he has six touchdowns in a game. I don't know, an absurd amount of touchdowns in a game. I guess the game has just changed a bit. But, like I said, there aren't any... I just don't think the quarterback play is up to par as compared to what it used to be. And I think that they've taken away a lot of responsibility of the players as far as... safety, I guess. Like Tom Brady at one point in time gave a whole spiel about how, like, when he played Ravens, the Ravens, and they had Ray Lewis, he would always make an attempt to throw away from Ray Lewis, because if you threw it near Ray Lewis, odds are the player that you threw the ball to was going to get hurt, and he couldn't afford to lose good players. So if he saw Ray Lewis on one side of the field, he would always just throw it to the other side. Like defenseless receivers are like a rule now. You can't hit a defenseless receiver. But I mean, if you call for a ball and then you get absolutely smashed out of the air, you probably shouldn't have called for that ball, because obviously you weren't actually open. So that'd be awareness, and that'd be on the receiver, and that'd also be on the quarterback, because the quarterback was probably relying on the fact that the receiver was, you know, waving his hands. But see, there's just a lot of things like that. Like, there's a lot of small, intricate things that no longer... Well, I don't want to say no longer, but don't exist to the extent that they used to back in the days of, you know... When football was a bit more of a brutal kind of sport. To be fair, I don't think you should be necessarily able to hit a wide receiver who's defenseless. In the air, grabbing a ball. I mean, that's rough. But, there was a time when that was just a thing. Like, you didn't even have to wait for the ball to get there. You just hit him. That was a valid play. You could do that. It was a different kind of league back in the day. I don't remember that. I was never around for that. So don't assume that. But it was only until really recently that probably like 2012 or something like that, when the NFL started getting more strict with the safety standards. I remember the Legion of Boom when the Seahawks were, you know, good, and then they, you know, messed up and lost the Super Bowl because they decided to throw the ball at the goal line instead of handing it to Marshawn Lynch, who at the time was the best running back in the NFL, because Pete Carroll has not a brain cell in his body. I guess Pete Carroll does coach the Raiders now, so would you look at that? How the cookie crumbles. Now, the Raiders, I do believe, are under new ownership. I don't think that it was this year, but I don't know who's in charge of it now. It was Al Davis for the longest time, and now Al Davis's son, I do believe, is the one in charge of it. Yeah, Mark Davis is now the owner of the, the operating manager, or however you want to say it, but controlling owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, according to his Wikipedia page. So yes, Al Davis is out of the Raiders, and Mark Davis is in charge of the Raiders, I guess. So it's a new era over there. Maybe they're just trying to get some stuff figured out. I feel bad for Ashton Jeanty, though. You know, he went over to the Raiders, and it didn't bode well for him. Well, I don't know. I guess Ashton Jeanty did quite well, considering. But there are, I don't know. It was a good year for running backs coming into the NFL. Travion Henderson, I think, is going to be great. Quinshon, we saw, has been great. Dylan Sampson on the Browns as well. I think he's good. I think he could have been a starting back somewhere himself. It is possible at this point for Ashton Jeanty to get a 1,000-yard season. Right now, he's at 828 yards. That's good. Averaging 3.7, not the best by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, they've handed him the ball quite a few times. And the more they hand you the ball, the less your average is going to be. But, yeah, no. So, I mean, I think that Ashton Jeanty, There's a good chance Ashton Jeanty breaks 1,000 this year. And I think that'd be good for Ashton Jeanty. I'm sure there's been other rookie running backs to do so. But yeah. Quinshon, by the way, I do believe Quinshon got hurt. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. But yeah. He, I do believe, got hurt. Yeah, catastrophic leg injury, apparently, according to the Yahoo Sports. But I don't know how catastrophic it was. It might have just been a season ender. But a season ender, honestly, is not the worst thing that could happen to the Browns at this point. I think the Browns... honestly, I think the worst thing that could happen to the Browns at this point is to win out in the season. Win your final games, because then you're just going to tank your draft stock. I think at this point the best bet is to just play the games, take the L's, draft just as good as you did last year, because the draft last year was incredible. And, you know, you'd have a decent team next year, so long as you get a good line. Well, sorry, not line. Thinking of the wrong team. So long as you get good receivers. I don't have a lot of faith in Jerry Jeudy, personally. I mean, I know a lot of people who are big fans of Jerry Jeudy. I think Jerry Judy's a wide receiver 2 or 3 at best. I'm a big fan of Isaiah Bond. Personally, I'd put, I'd put Isaiah Bond probably at wide receiver 3, Jerry Jeudy at 2. And then I'd get a wide receiver 1. Or draft a couple wide receivers, because it's always better to have more as opposed to less. But, I don't know. I think that the Browns have some problems somewhere, and I'm not 100% sure where. It's got to be the front office somewhere, I'd think, for the sheer fact that, I mean, you know, they've been on the losing side of the NFL for as long as I've been around. Except 1 year, I think they did go to the playoffs, but then they got put out immediately. But I don't know. It's been an interesting run. I mean, I got to see the Bengals go from one of the worst teams in the NFL to going to the Super Bowl to being back to one of the worst teams in the NFL in the course of, like, you know, no time at all. All it took was drafting Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow got hurt, came back his next year, played incredibly well. But then all of a sudden, I guess they lost their entire defense. I don't know what happened. They did a lot worse this year than I thought they would. I'll say that. Also, if there's anything you would like to say, feel free to call in. We have about 2 minutes 45 seconds left in this hour, but in this show. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think that the Rams could go to the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford's having a year again. I mean, Puka Nacua's good. I think that he has a good... They got good running backs. The defense is solid. It's possible. But I'm not sure what I'm honestly surprised that the Broncos have done as well as they have. I didn't think that. I thought they were going to go about 50-50. I mean, you can't go 50-50 anymore. It's a 17-game season. But I thought they were going to go about 9-8, 8-9. And I thought the Packers were going to go about 9-8 or 8-9. And, I don't know. I guess I was thinking closer to, like, 9-8 to, like, 11-6. But it's been, I guess we're all on track still. But either way, we have about 1.5 minutes left in this. One last chance. If you want to call in, feel free. 740-383-9944. It's been a good day. The shows this morning were good. I would have been here on time had my phone, well, in theory, if my phone hadn't died. I still ended up here only an hour late, which is not terrible. The Leshefsky family was here prior to my show. Infinitely a better show than this one. I don't know how you top that. As far as, well, I guess obviously a bigger show. But they were incredible. They played a lot of good songs. And I think that, I was going to say I think that they're underrated instruments, but accordions. I think that accordions are underrated instruments. They sound so good. You can make an accordion sound like a whole band. You know, that's incredible stuff. But with that being said, we have about 30 seconds here. So I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all stay warm, but it's not all that cold outside, truth be told. Have a good night. Try to sleep well. If you're not going to sleep and you're at work, then, don't work too hard. You can listen to us live 24 hours via the free TuneIn app or WWGH1071.com. At the bottom of the page, there's a listen button there. Have a good night and goodbye.
Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and